You're listening to VFN TV highlights at VFNKB.com. Enjoy.
You think about it. Jesus, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, walked with us, showed us the love of God, healed, delivered, shared the heart of God with us. And then he chose his 12 disciples in that. He walked out his life with the 12 disciples. People began to believe, but eventually he gave his life up for our sin, death, burial, and resurrection. He was raised again on the third day, but he came back and began to walk around for 40 days talking with the disciples and telling them what they needed to do and told them they needed to stay until the promise comes. But the reason why, of all the things that Jesus said before he left, was he said, go tell them about me. I'm telling you this right now. You've been baptized with water, but you're going to be baptized with the Spirit. The Spirit of God is going to give you the power to open your mouth and tell people about me. He says, you'll be baptized with fire as the Spirit comes upon you, and then you'll be witnesses to, and he talks about progressively a smaller town, a bigger town than all of the whole world, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. But that's the thing he said do, was go tell people about him. Well, I'm Greg Lancaster, of course. Joining me is John Ramos.
Hello.
And so we take that whole thing and what I just said, that reality, and we just sum it up into one little small word called evangelism or something. But the truth is, the creator of the universe loves us so much that he gave his son for us. Jesus came for us, died for us, paid the price for us because we couldn't, so that we could be with him forever. And he wants everybody to know this opportunity to be forgiven of their sins and have a relationship with him. And he says, hey, freely you've gotten this. Go tell other people about me. Yeah. Let them know that I love them and I have a plan for their life. But statistically, it's looking kind of, and you can see why, because so much religion. I mean, we're singing songs, we're building buildings.
Oh, yeah.
We're building big buildings, nice buildings,
and
PowerPoints,
we're crying
projection,
for buildings that burn.
Crying apps, and all these different stuff. But the whole thing is like, but are we actually doing what he said? Go tell people about him.
Imagine that. Not only that, right now, the big, big push and a big understanding is that evangelism, or telling people about Jesus, is we're doing really good if we're inviting someone to a church service. But there's so much more than just inviting someone to a church service.
I think about this too. Former law enforcement, you would call people in. You would first investigate the crime or what's going on, and you would actually interview people to find out if they were a witness or not.
Mm.
And if there were witnesses, they were very important because they could actually corroborate what took place. And so we would bring witnesses before a jury, which is the community, and let them share what they heard and what they knew, what they saw, what they experienced. And then the people would decide based on the witness whether the person the person's guilty or innocent. But in regards to being a witness for Jesus Christ, you know, people that have experienced him, people that can give a testimony about, I know him, I didn't know him before, I knew him, I know him now. Mm-hmm. This is my life before I met him, but since I met him, this, I'm giving you evidence. I'm a witness of what's going on. Mm-hmm. And now my life is different, and I'm not perfect, but I'm forgiven. God didn't come to make, you know, bad people good. He came to make dead people alive. I'm alive now. I'm not the same person. And then I can give my witness to say, it doesn't mean they're going to necessarily convict their own hearts and go, I'm going to be a believer now, but he's calling us to be that witness on the jury stand of heaven,
testify,
right? To testify.
To share that story.
Because sometimes we take the word witnessing for Christ and we separate it from the reality is we want to witness for anything. Send me some witnesses.
Yeah.
I'll listen to the case.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm convinced, then I'll receive it.
Not only that, but we take the burden upon ourselves thinking that we're the ones that have to convince someone logically as to Christ.
Our job is
just to share the story. It's the Holy Spirit who does the convicting and the leading and the drawing to Jesus. And so take the pressure off yourself. You're just sharing what Jesus has done for you.
Well, you know, I just talked about that, just the Dream Center, about there's the power of the gospel. It's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The power of what God did on the cross for us with his son. You pull that out, there's no power. But the power of God is the sacrifice of his son, the willingness of lay down Jesus' life. He was willing to lay down his life for us. That cross, Jesus Christ and him crucified, is the power. So when you share, not like, you know, I used to drink coffee, but I don't drink, whatever the thing is.
Right.
You're just talking about your religious exercise. But if you can talk about, I met the Savior, the one who gave his life, he died for you.
That's right.
And you share that witness with folks, the true witness of what happened in the encounter, then you're looking, like you're saying, it's not what you're saying, but what you're saying lines up with the truth, then the Holy Spirit is anointing that, and that
Absolutely.
Power is interfering with that person's life, and they can't get away from that testimony, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful stuff.
Yeah.
It's great because you're giving the Holy Spirit material to work with, right? He's the one that's doing everything.
Right.
It's just our job to share about that reality.
Yeah.
And listen, so many people have told me, mm-hmm. and they've testified about the new car they bought, the new house they bought.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it wonderful?
Right, yeah,
a great opportunity to share about Jesus, what he's done with our life. Because as the Bible says, it's appointed for every man to die and then the judgment. And we're all going to have to account for our lives. And, you know, what are we going to do with this man called Jesus? We have to come to a decision point, and everybody needs to come to a decision
point. Well, I think about this. I think about is when I gave my life to the Lord, I got saved.
Mm-hmm.
God called me out, you know, and forgave me. One of the first persons I wanted to talk to was somebody that I thought was very insignificant. It was in the military with me. He would always talk to me about the Lord, and he would turn me on to some Christian singer or something. And I would say, they're a country guy. So I would just mess with him. And
so what was your response to him? Were you receptive at that time?
Or no, I wasn't receptive. And he invited me a couple of times to his church service and things that are going on. So he was kind of an introvert in a way,
mm-hmm.
but yet he put an effort out. And of all the people,
wow.
of all the people I knew,
wow.
I wanted to call Jim Crew. So, Jim, you're out there, man. I couldn't get a hold of him, but I wanted him to know, like, I understand now what you were talking about. Because I didn't understand that. I was going to rock church with him a couple
That's
times
amazing.
In Virginia.
Because you were in the Navy, right?
Yes.
It was a Navy experience?
Yes.
So it's amazing. Someone that just, your coworker,
right.
was sharing the reality of what the Lord did in his life.
Right.
And then all these years later,
out of all the people
circle,
to call, yeah. Yeah, I wanted to call him up and tell him, like, oh, dude, this is it. Yeah, we're related now. So I felt like, hey, you know, I know we're in the same family now.
Not just related, but Jim, my goodness, look what you did. I mean,
one
encounter because you were willing to do that. Now he's touching the world. It's just a beautiful thing.
Don't tell them everything, Jim.
That's just huge.
Yeah,
you know, I think about
tell
that.
Them everything. Okay.
I think about that generationally, as Ed just mentioned that, about the light, the impact that we can have on someone.
Mm-hmm.
And that just by sharing what the Lord has done and what he's done for them, even though they haven't fully accepted it yet.
There's a song, Look What the Lord Has Done.
Oh, like, I know.
Look what the Lord
I'll
has
let you
done.
Sing it. Go ahead, keep going.
He touched my body. What?
He touched my body. He touched my
body.
Mind.
He touched me just. Hey, let's get back. We don't know anything about music. We are looking at a graph here from the Barner Group. And we're going to look at how people would like to explore their faith. So they're saying, I'm interested about how would I like
how
to
would
explore
I like to.
That. Okay.
This category is broken down into three categories. All adults, spiritually important,
mm-hmm.
and spiritually unimportant.
Okay.
So this is how they kind of feel. So
these are the color of the group.
Those are the color of the groups.
Okay.
And so with the first category, which is casual one-on-one conversation, 30% of all adults felt, hey, that's a good idea. But for those who thought spirituality was important, 40% said, this is my ideal way on how I want to explore learning about the Christian faith. For those whose spirituality was unimportant, 27%.
So this is people who are having a casual conversation? Like, this is the first one we're talking about.
First one.
But the second one we're talking about here is casual conversation with a group.
Okay.
Which is 23% of adults, right?
That's right.
29% of spiritually, this is spiritual importance to them.
Right, these are people that feel that spirituality is
very important to them.
Okay. So that group said, hey, 29%, I like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'll explore your faith within a group. That's pretty good.
So,
but those that felt unimportant, only
20%. So the group situation, personal conversation. So this is a person at church. So 20% of all adults said they'd rather hear about their faith at a church.
Right.
Which, of course, is actually... They're probably talking about a building, an organized situation,
yes.
not a group of people.
Correct.
Because the church is wherever two or more gathered in my name in
mm-hmm.
the context of that.
And if we go back, we would say that probably most people would think this would be the most ideal place. Sure.
Right.
I've got to bring someone to the church to
right.
find out about God, the building,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
But in reality, it looks like casual one-on-one conversation is the way they prefer to hear.
Right. Okay. So we're looking here. At each of these, how people are seeing they want to learn about their faith. So when you think about your faith, you know, how do you want to learn about your faith? Then we find out through these studies we're finding out is the way Jesus shared faith in him is how people want that shared with them today, because he sat down with them, he ate with them, he had a relationship with them, he broke bread with them. But today, it's like you're in this crowd, everybody's looking in one direction. Can you imagine Jesus being?
No.
It just didn't happen. It didn't happen like that. So when you think about it, people are really kind of focusing on that intimacy. They want
intimacy.
To be, you know, everybody wants that, right? That personal relationship.
I think they want talk to instead of talk that, you know, and people say, explain to me, let's explore this together.
We can ask questions.
Sure.
You know, and
dialogue.
Not be intimidated. You know, the only stupid question is the question is not asked, right?
That's right. Okay. So then the next category or way or method would be video or a movie. 7% of all adults said, yeah, maybe, right? 11% for those who think spirituality is important said, I'm open to sending me a movie.
Right.
But those who say spirituality is not important, 5%. 5%.
Right.
So, again, that's another way of sharing your faith.
You know, historically, back in the 60s and 70s, maybe back further back, tracts where people handed out printed material, that is no more. Maybe what replaced that may be some social media or something where you're sharing your faith and all.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good.
Right.
Now, a person on the street.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
one-on-one
on the street now, out in public, maybe someone, you know, street preaching or something like that. 3% of all adults said that's something I may be interested in.
Well, I can see personally, because people don't have personal interaction anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, they have to feel safe. So if you're in this conversation with someone, they feel safe.
Mm-hmm.
If some stranger approaching them is like, hey, you know, the people are kind of virtually connected, but they're not physically, not even their own families.
Sure.
And so the way to reach people is a personal relationship, building some relationship with them, asking questions, letting them ask questions, being ready to just have a relationship with them. Have some coffee, have a meal together, right?
Dialogue.
Yeah.
Dialogue. Again, not speaking to me, but speaking with me. That's
right.
A big difference.
Right.
People are intimidated by that.
Right.
They want to know a little bit more, but invite me into the space and let's dialogue.
But the thing about when you do that, you got to give up your life. You got to bring people into your life. But that's what we're called to do.
Exactly.
He said, literally, unless you pick up your cross and follow me, you can have no part of me. And it's family. When you're telling people about the Lord and your relationship with him, giving your testimony, we have a message I just shared about the power of God, which is the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. You can request it. You can see information below. We'll get it right to you specifically. It's not going to be an offer right there. But there's power in sharing that. But building that relationship, he says, whatever you do to the least of these of mine, you do to me.
To me.
So if you give somebody water, you give them time, you give them food, you know, you give them a shelter, then that's how you're treating God.
It's a beautiful thing.
So you have to interact with folks.
Sure.
You know, and church really is about a people. You are the building of God. And so what's happening, I think we're having the conflict here, is we're trying to explain the difference between a organization and an organism. The difference between a building we call the church and us being the church.
Yeah.
That the word of God applies to us, not to that organization or that bricks and mortar. And he says we have to love one another and we have to eat together and love. So why not? I mean, everybody wants an authentic relationship, right?
And we're looking at how people would like to explore their faith.
Right.
What we're going to look at next is how is it actually being done?
Okay, this is people that know the Lord. How are they actually doing it?
How people have experienced evangelism. So,
how they personally have it towards them.
Right. They say, this is how I want you to do evangelism. Now, this is reality, how it's actually being done.
Okay.
Well, casual one-on-one conversation, which we found that 40% of spiritually important people wanted to be spoken to this way, that's happening at 22%.
Okay.
In contrast to the way that they least wanted to receive to learn about faith, a track is at 30%. So we're missing it.
They're experiencing that. We're giving them 30%. We're actually giving them tracks. They don't want tracks.
Right.
They want personal conversation.
40% say they want 40. You know, they want to be spoken to in a casual conversation. But we're only doing it 22% of the time.
Well, maybe we can increase.
I think so.
Okay. So if we want to win more people to the Lord, to spend time with people.
Yeah.
Sharing your life and all. Yeah.
And it's so important. I mean, I think you're looking at all these opportunities in the community where you look at Starbucks or you're looking at Panera Bread. They call those places today a third space because people are wanting a place where they can eat a meal and really have a conversation, especially millennials. They want to interact.
Well, think about this. You know, maybe you know this too, that when you think about corporations, they have figured out how to make money off how we're designed. Mm. We're so designed that way to have personal relationship that Starbucks, off of a cup of coffee, a very expensive cup of coffee, has actually developed a living room with chairs and tables, and you watch people, they go there because they want to feel like they're in relationship, and they want to feel like they're connected to people, even though they're quite often not. They still get that feeling like they are.
Yeah.
They have the thing called WeWork and these different groups now of companies that are coming together that have people that work together in workspaces. They're not the same company, but they basically want to work with people.
People still want human interaction.
Yeah.
And there's many people that are lonely. Yeah. When I did a chaplain internship at LSU Medical Center, I was surprised to see the amount of people that came to the hospital just because they wanted to talk to folks.
That's
they weren't
amazing.
Even sick.
Yeah, right.
They weren't even sick, but they were starving for someone to care about them and to
right.
ask them questions about what was going on in their
and
life.
And maybe that's you. You know, maybe that's you. What are your comments? Comment below. Write to us at friends@vfnkb.com. We love hearing from you. This is so important. It's so easy to share your life and share the Lord at the same time. But when you try to share him outside of your life, it doesn't make sense at all.
Yeah.
But he's supposed to be all about you, and he is all about you, and you being all about him. So it's just about sharing your day-to-day encounters with God. Abiding with God. One thing you can do, you know, people want to abide with God, but they just need a simple plan to do that. Guess what? We have one for you at iabide.org. When you begin to have long conversations with God and hide his word in your heart, you have a lot more to share about
That's
him,
right.
what's going on. So we're talking about, you know, how people want to share their faith in regards to, you know, of all the things Jesus told us to do, was to be able to go and share our faith. And we're really finding out from the Barner Group, they did a wonderful study. You can find out more about it at Barner.org, but how people are actually doing this. And next we're going to talk about how Christians are most, what?
Comfortable sharing faith.
Right.
So number one, listening to someone's questions about faith, 57%.
So
it's
57% like that people, what, answering questions?
Yep, listening to someone's questions about faith. That's how Christians like to share their faith.
So ask me some questions.
Ask me some questions. Talk to me.
Right. Which is right. It's going to happen in a relationship.
Easy, right.
It's like a game show. People are like running, hey, I got a question
sure,
for you.
Sure, I don't know the Lord, but let me ask you some questions.
Right,
it doesn't
right,
necessarily
okay.
happen that
yep,
way.
That
which says
sense.
That we're more comfortable in that space.
Okay.
But we're not into so much listening. We're in the telling, right?
Yeah.
No telling,
oh, yeah, right.
You know?
Not good. Yes.
Yeah, not good.
Right. You got to have a conversation first, and then the questions
sure,
come.
Sure, yeah. sure. Mm-hmm. So secondly, let's look across here. Extending hospitality to people of other faiths. 55%.
So 55%.
That's pretty good. That means to me that they're opening their homes and they're willing to entertain someone.
So yeah, define hospitality. So hospitality would be?
I would say opening your home,
right.
inviting someone into your space. And
or even give somebody a seat at your table.
Sure.
You know, in a restaurant or a coffee shop or being hospitable
Correct.
Towards others. Okay.
I like
so,
that. So
55%.
We're doing good.
That's
hey.
Huge. Okay. Hey, right.
So how about this one?
I'm coming over for dinner now?
Yeah, come
okay.
on.
Yeah. Okay.
Making friends with someone who practices another faith or no faith, 55%.
Very good.
So Christians are open.
So people who don't have your faith in Jesus Christ are open to you, 55% are open to you having a relationship with it, they can explore your faith.
You're open to them. You're open to having that conversation.
So you're a Christian having a relationship with others
right,
who don't have their faith? And,
right. Christians are most comfortable in sharing their
so
faith.
So building their faith up. Talk to people who have faith about their faith. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, we're looking at making friends with someone who practices another faith or no faith. So this is how Christians feel comfortable. They say, listen, I'm willing to be friends with someone
okay,
who's not,
yes.
not saved
okay.
so that,
right.
so that I can win you. Sure,
yeah.
defense, you know.
Brilliant, yes.
Friendship evangelism, if
yes.
you will.
Okay, got it.
So it's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. How about sharing of your own faith journey? So 53% of Christians feel comfortable doing that, which
right.
we would say is sharing their testimony. So
okay.
that's a pretty good sign.
So it looks like to
50-50 here, you know.
that having personal relationship, hospitable, kind, long-term encounters with the folks, that in that you're going to win them.
Yes.
You know, one of my deepest desires is begin to see the church focusing on their own neighborhoods, their own community,
yes.
like a mile. If you took a pen, think about this. You take a pen and you put it wherever you live at, and you take a mile radius around. You say, I'm going to spend the rest of my life until God moves me, reaching the people within this mile, whatever it takes.
Yeah.
I want to do that. And that's one thing, you know, at Vine Fellowship Network, we talk about how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people are trying to win the world and number of folks to come to an end right here. But you can win your neighbors. You can find out more at vinefellowshipnetwork.org. I want to be able to pray with you right now as we're going to a close. Father God, I just pray for a spirit of evangelism to come upon your people. Lord, you called us to be witnesses. I pray that your spirit would just be filled those that are watching yes. right now by your power, God, to be witnesses, God. We pray, dear God, that you would give us a grace and a courage in this season, Father God, to build relationship with those who don't know you, to answer their questions about you. And dear God, we ask you, end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening. We ask this in Jesus' name. And don't forget how easy it is. Love God, love others, and lead others to do the same. God bless.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the VFN TV and the daily radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNKB.com. And don't forget about our VFNKB app. No matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. Connect and sign up for the next webinar or attend our next summit at VFNKB.com. VFN TV and the daily radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.